Good morning. The order of service this morning is the order of morning service beginning on page 5. Please rise. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Our worship continues with a reading of the responsive introit as found printed on your bulletin insert. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Forever, O Lord, your word. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. By your appointment they stand this day. If your law had not been but my delight, I will never forget your precepts. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, as it was in the beginning,
it is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Your word is a lamp to my feet. Glory be to God on high.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading of God's Word. The first reading is written in the book of Acts, the 17th chapter, beginning at the 16th verse. While Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicureans and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. And some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities," because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took hold of him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the whole earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." Here ends the reading. The epistle is written in the book of 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. "Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they firmly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers, having been subjected to him. Here ends the reading. Please rise for the responsive gradual as found printed on your bulletin insert. Christ has risen from the dead. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands.
Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 14th chapter of St. John, beginning at the 15th verse. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Here endeth the Gospel. We now confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed found printed on page 12. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated as we now invite forward our children's choir, followed by the children's message. Thank you. Good morning. How's everyone doing? Hey, you see some funny things down here today. I'm going to explain this to you in a second. But first, Jesus makes a promise to his disciples, and therefore he makes a promise to us in the gospel. He says that he will ask his Father to send another helper to be with us forever. And when you hear the word helper, what do you think of? Well, let me show you. Which one of you young men or young ladies are strong other than Duncan? Because I know Duncan is strong. He lifts up tractors and carries them around on the farm, don't you, Duncan? who wants to help me? Who wants to be my helper? Okay. Come on. This should be fun. Now, what you have to do, Evan, is pick up the font, not drag it. You have to pick it up, physically pick it up, and put it on top of the white X. No, you can't drag it. You got to pick it up. You can't drag it. It looks like you might need to. Oh, look at this. Look at, I didn't think he would be able to do it. What have you been feeding this boy? I was hoping he wouldn't be able to pick it up, so I would come over and pick it up for him and put it down perfectly where it's supposed to be. You didn't put it perfectly where it's supposed to be because you needed a helper. Yeah, that's right, like me. Yeah, it's on the X. Look at it perfectly, Vince. Look at this, perfectly on the X. That's right where I wanted it. So it's perfectly on the X. Now, the reason why I did this to show us that in our life we need a helper. And prior to our baptism, we needed a lot of help because in our sin, we had no hope. So Jesus is telling his disciples there in the upper room that he's going to ask his Father to send another helper so that he will be with us forever. And that's what Jesus has done for all of you. Each and every one of you sitting here have received a helper right here at the font. That's why I used the font this morning. You see over here where the font was, there's what is that? What kind of X? A black X. Yet prior to your baptism, you lived in the blackness, in the darkness of your sin. And you needed a helper. I was the same way one time. Actually, a lot of people say I need a lot of help all the time. But we'll not talk about that. So, you needed a helper. You needed a helper who would bring you out of darkness. Notice the white X, the clear X. And this is what happened for all of you right here. Jesus kept his promise. Jesus said that he was going to ask his Father to send another helper, and he would be with you forever. Did Jesus keep his promise to you? Yes, he did. Not only did he keep his promise to you, he kept his promise to his disciples. He kept his promise to your mom and to your dad and to your grandparents, to your aunts and uncles and to your cousins. Jesus kept his promise. He did send the Holy Spirit, and we received the Holy Spirit when we are baptized. The disciples received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, which we will be celebrating here on the last day of this, on the last Sunday of this month. It actually is the last day of the month, actually. So, the importance of this is Jesus keeps his promise. The world will tell you that Jesus doesn't keep his promise. That's because the world doesn't know Jesus. And the world doesn't know the Holy Spirit. The world still lives in blackness. The world still lives in blackness. But you and all of us here have been brought into the marvelous light of Christ. But in our baptisms, we have been saved. We have been regenerated. We have been enlightened. We've been given the Spirit of God who lives in us right now. Jesus also lives in us right now. And we know the truth. And the truth has set each and every one of you free. All of your sin is forgiven. There's no reason to be afraid of anything or anyone because you have a helper and he's always with you. Just like I was hoping to help Evan, but he proved me wrong. Congratulations to Evan, but he didn't put it down perfectly. So there's my out, Evan. I have to have it out because I didn't think you'd be able to pick this up. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that we have the Spirit. Let's fold our hands and close our eyes and let us pray. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for keeping your promise to send us another helper. And Lord, we have received that helper in our baptism, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. Thank you, O Holy Spirit, for being our helper, for being our counselor, for being our guide, for being the one who is always with us and in us. And we pray, O Holy Spirit, that you will teach us, that you will continue to teach us the Holy Word, so that we may continue to be free and to hear that all of our sins are forgiven. And all the children said,
Amen.
Remember, we walked back to our seats. Evan, thanks very much. Don't squeeze too hard. I don't want a broken hand. Thanks. We now sing the hymn of the day. Okay, Coop. See you later. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the Holy Gospel lesson, as you have heard read, and the theme this morning, Jesus will never leave you. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, there's a song that was written in 1972. Yes, I'm going to date myself, because some of you will have no idea what I'm talking about. But there was a song that was quite popular in 1972. It goes like this, and no, I'm not going to sing it, but I will speak it. It goes like this, the second stanza anyway. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. No one's singing, but you are in your mind, aren't you? Some of you who remember this, when you were in high school in 1972, like I was, this was on the radio all the time. The man was a man by the name of Bill Withers, and it made him famous. A very popular song, but I use this as an introduction because there is one of whom we must lean on. Because we are not always strong, actually we're not strong at all. He says that he'll be our friend, and he is. He's our helper, our advocate, our best friend. He will help us to carry on, which he does through this world of darkness. For he knows that it's not long, that we're going to need someone to lean on. And therefore, you have the Holy Spirit as your helper. It is the Holy Spirit who has come into your lives, dear one, into each and every one of your lives when you were baptized, for many of you right there at that font, or wherever you may have been baptized. That's when your helper came to you. He comes to you in your baptism. As Jesus tells us in John chapter 3, unless you are born from above, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And therefore, he comes to us. He comes to us also not only in baptism, but in the preached word, in the written word itself. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the words of Jesus. Therefore, we know, as Scripture tells us, that he dwells in us. He is in us as we are in him. As a matter of fact, in the book of 2 Corinthians, which Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, he says this, "For we are the temples of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." That's what your Lord has done for each and every one of you. But the world cannot understand this. The world cannot discern what these words mean. Because as you heard with our children, the world still lives in darkness, the blackness of sin, of self-centeredness, of narcissism. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit, nor can it even understand what the Holy Spirit, who he is. As a matter of fact, they don't even receive Jesus, and they even think that the cross is nothing but foolishness. But to us, it's the power of salvation. Jesus tells his disciples then, as he does today, that the Holy Spirit will abide with you forever. He will abide through us through the Word, which he has inspired. He abides through us in the Word, which he guides you in. He guides you in all truth. My dear brother and sister, each day when you do your devotions, and I hope that you are, each day you should open this book and you should read from it. It's not a It's not a symbol of honor to be sitting on your lampstand drawing dust. No, it should be opened. It should be opened and read. And each time you open and read this word, each time you come to church to hear the preached word, each time you come to the altar to receive the word, He's abiding in you. He's keeping His promise. He always keeps His promise. John writes earlier, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. No longer are you bound by the sins of chains. No longer are you bound by the blackness of this world. You've been brought into the marvelous light. You are free. You are free indeed." And it is this word that empowers you to love. There in the upper room, Jesus was comforting His disciples. He was about to leave them. He was going to depart, as He told them. And He told them He would leave visibly. He would leave visibly before their presence. But His promise was that He would send another helper. He would ask His Father, and He would send another helper who would be with them forever, even the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth, those words are true, by the way, and they're very important for us. For the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, will never, ever deceive you. What does the Holy Spirit always tell you? He always teaches you about Jesus. He always points you to the cross. He never points you to anything else. I know that in this world there are many people that say that they have the Holy Spirit living in them, but when they come up and preach or to teach, what do they talk about? They talk about themselves. They talk about other people. They never mention Jesus. They never mention the cross. Therefore, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Truth will tell you the truth because Jesus is the truth, as you heard last week. Never will He mislead you. He will never guide you down the wrong path. Yes, we know that in this world, the world tells us that there is a wide path, and it is a delightful path. Eat, drink, and be merry. Enjoy this life. One day you will die, but so what? Well, the so what is horrendous for the world, because the so what is hell. The Spirit does not lead us down this road. He keeps us on the narrow road, never going too far to the left, never going too far to the right. He keeps us in the Word. This is the truth that the Holy Spirit teaches us, even the gospel itself. It's the unbeliever. It's the unbeliever who refuses to see and to know the work of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Why is this? Scripture tells us. However, natural man accepts not the things of the Spirit of God, for to him they are foolishness, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. If you happen to be in Bible class this morning, I showed you a slide of an unbeliever sitting at a desk and reading God's Word. But it wasn't what you think it may be, because the little caption above this unbeliever's head said, "I don't understand what this says." They will never understand what this says, because that unbeliever, for those in Bible class, as you remember, is a skeleton. They are dead people. They are not alive in the Spirit. And those who are dead to the Spirit cannot understand what they are reading. They cannot understand what they are hearing. Therefore, their only comment, "I don't understand. Therefore, it's not the truth." Only the unbeliever can say this. But we, the believer, we His daughters and sons, we know the truth. And we know that Jesus is our Lord. The Spirit is truly a gift from the Holy Trinity. The Son prays to the Father, and the Father sends the Holy Spirit. All God's work, by the way. Each time we see a baptism, which we will see on the 31st, little Max Ream
who right now is living in darkness. God does not know him. But on that glorious day, the Holy Trinity will come to him, and he will wash him clean. He will wash the blackness of sin out of his conscience, and he will give him newness of life. We will see the work of the Holy Trinity on that day. And it is a beautiful thing to see. Therefore, Jesus will not leave you, dear one, as an orphan. He will not leave you alone in this world. In the ancient world, to be an orphan would mean certain death. And if not certain death, it would mean a life of slavery forever. That's not what Jesus tells us. He tells us that in this world, we will face many trials and temptations, but he will come to us. He will not leave us as an orphan. He will give to us the Spirit of truth, who will guide us in all truth. When Jesus ascended to his Father, the world could no longer see him physically. And by the way, the world probably rejoiced because this Jesus, this man of Nazareth, was now out of the way. They wouldn't have to put up with him anymore. But his disciples, Jesus told them, that they would see him spiritually. They would see him by faith, with eyes of faith. And that's you, dear ones. You see Jesus also with eyes of faith. Jesus says, I in you. The presence of Jesus in your life assures you that his grace and his power is living in you and working through your life. And in that work and in that power that he gives, he is sanctifying you, setting you apart, feeding you that pure spiritual milk so that you may live in him forever. It is Jesus who comes to you. Yes, Jesus is about to depart, as he told his disciples. But before him, before his departure, he must go to the cross and there reconcile the world to his Father. Beyond the cross, though, is his victorious resurrection and then his ascension. There in his resurrection, we know that he lives, for he is risen. Hallelujah indeed. There in his resurrection, he is guaranteed to you and me that we too will be resurrected, and that he promises then that he will always be with us. I will come to you, as he tells his disciples. Jesus' promise is that he is always with you. It doesn't matter what happens in this world. There's nothing that can remove him from your life unless you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, and you willfully walk away from God, taking yourself off that narrow path and walking the wide road of destruction. On the last day, then, don't blame God. Blame yourself, because that's where the blame will lay. But the Holy Spirit who lives in you will keep you on the right, true path. Jesus promises, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He does keep his promise. He comes to you in word, and he comes to you in sacrament, the means of grace. It is in the means of grace that you see him working. You see him keeping his promise to you, coming to you, and announcing to you all of the benefits of his kingdom. Jesus tells us, the one who hears you hears me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. That's what the world does. The world rejects Jesus, and in rejecting Jesus, they are rejecting the Father. Therefore, on the last day, the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit will reject them. But that's not you. That's not me. That is not us. Because we see with eyes of faith. We see him in the means of grace. Therefore, Jesus gives you hope, dear one. You have this rock-solid hope, this blessed assurance that there is a future for you, and that future is eternal. Because I live, you also will live, Jesus says. Then you shall know, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. You will know Jesus forever on that great last day. You will see Him face to face, eye to eye, and there's no fear. There will be great joy. For the old has now passed away, and the forever has come, and we will be forever in our Lord. He in us, we in Him, we with the Father forever. And we know this is the truth. For today, Jesus announces to all of you, I will not leave you. I will come to you, and I will announce to you that all your sin is forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the offering. Let us now pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Please rise. Heavenly Father, move us to proclaim Jesus Christ to those who do not know Him, that through the hearing of the word of the Lord, many may be brought to faith and to the knowledge of the truth. Heavenly Father, we pray for the church here and everywhere,
that all who confess Jesus Christ may be united in doctrine and witness, defended against all the assaults of the enemy, and eager to gather together around your word and sacrament in love for one another. Heavenly Father, we pray for this congregation, for the work of the kingdom in our community, and for the resources to accomplish all that you desire, that your holy name may be glorified among us, and your will and purpose be fulfilled in our words and work. Heavenly Father, we pray for the agencies and institutions through which we love our neighbor and provide for those in need, for the destitute and the homeless, and for everyone who suffers unemployment and underemployment. And may we aid them in their needs and assist them to find honorable labor to supply all their needs. Heavenly Father, we pray for the lonely who suffer the burdens of life without friendship or family, for those depressed and weary of pandemic measures, and for the fellowship of the church, that we may bear one another's burdens and live in community with Christ as our Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray for the sick and for those who suffer, especially Esther Schweier, Jim McCullough, Joyce Lechner, Aubrey Art, Sean Mendez, Austin Art, the Reverend David and Barbara Bush, Barbara Wolfert, Ryan Fiesel, Charlotte Davis, Maya Kalla, Wanda Schweier, Waylon Steiner, Janice Patterson, Kenny Miller, Patricia Lee, Jeff Secor, and Nikki Strait. O Lord God, grant healing to their bodies, peace for their minds, and consolation in their grief and sorrows. Heavenly Father, we pray for love of godly things, that we may delight in your word and walk in your ways, and for the Holy Spirit, that we may be led into all truth and kept from error and false doctrine. Heavenly Father, we pray for the nations, for those who lead our nation, and for the end of this pandemic, for peace among nations, and for an end to terror and violence, that we may work for the common good, so that justice may prevail, life be protected, and truth abound. O Lord our God, as we recall the obedient life and life-giving death of your Son for our salvation, we pray you to strengthen our faith and to make our hearts bold, that we may not fear but address our prayers to you in all humility. Help us and hear us on behalf of Jesus Christ, our great high priest, who even now stands before you on our behalf, pleading our cause with his own blood, until that day when we are delivered from the changes and chances of this mortal life and stand before you in heaven forevermore. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Please be seated. God's richest blessings to you all. May I direct your attention to our bulletin announcements. As you see in the bulletin, I'm not going to read all of them, but I will emphasize voters' assembly directly after we finish here. So we pray that all the voters will remain and do the work of the church. That's what we have been called to do as a church, to do the work of our Lord. And part of that is to do the work of the church. And we pray that you'll stay and remain for that. All the other announcements you see in the bulletin, I want to direct also parents to your attention to Vacation Bible School, and you'll see the announcement about with VBS. There's also a flyer that you'll see as you leave the doors. Maybe you didn't see them, but I put them there on purpose. And then the last thing is on the back. We now have a give button on our website. We thank Brent for setting this up for us. If you go to our website, it's a nice blue button. I like that color, Brent, by the way. You could have done red, but that would have been maybe a little, but nice blue is nice. That's a nice color. So if you desire to give your offerings through the website, I'm not sure exactly how it works, but if you have any questions, please ask Brent. Don't ask me, ask Brent, and he'll explain how it works. It does work, though. Brent has tested it, and it does work. So we thank you again, Brent, for setting that up for us. God's richest blessings to you all. Looking forward to seeing you all next Sunday, as next Sunday we will hear of our Lord and his high priestly prayer, his prayer for all of you. God's richest blessings. Amen.